So the little voice you heard, that's Ethan. He's our oldest. And you know, moms, that's our heart, that we don't want screens to take our place. We want to be the ones. And you know, when your kids are teenagers, they're going to want to be with their friends and they're going to want to be with their screens, and that's that. But when they're little, from birth through elementary school, they want to be with us. And if we waste that window because we were busy or because it was too convenient to just be with screens, if we waste that window, we are missing something very precious, because that's the time they want to be with us. Mom, will you play this game with me? Mom, will you hang out with me? Mom, come snuggle with me. Mom, will we read this to me? That's the time. And it's not the time for us to say, oh, I'm catching up on Facebook. That's not a good trade. So we've got to be careful, moms, in what we're doing. You know, I told you earlier that Ethan was strange because he doesn't play video games and these things. And we worry about that as moms, that we don't want our children to be different. But do you know when the kids make fun of him and they say, oh, poor Ethan, he doesn't know what that is. He doesn't have video games or TV. Oh, poor Ethan. You know what he always says? He's very well-liked in school. And he'll say, oh, I feel sorry for you. You don't know how to play the piano. You don't know how to read good books. You know, and he'll make fun of them. And do you know when you raise your child in a loving environment where they're learning and they're thriving, they're going to be fine. And it's okay to be brave and go against the current, go against what everybody else is doing. It's okay. Abraham Lincoln said that the best way to predict the future is to create it. And what kind of future do you want to create with your children? We're going to open it up for questions and answers from you, and then we're going to have a discussion time. So if you have a question, hand high in the air. And I'd love to take it. Yes. Yes. Four-year-old looking at kindergarten schools. Yep. Yes. Yep. Yep. That's a great question. So basically, as your child goes to school, what if they have all these devices? What are you supposed to do? And this is going to be a very individual situation, and it's going to be something you're going to have to see. And it's harder. It's different than it even was a few years ago. So you can, you know, a lot of the elites, the Silicon Valley elites, they're sending their kids to the old classroom that has, you know, the chalkboard and no technology. And Bill Gates had his daughters 45 minutes or less a day on technology. So there is something to be said that education is buying this idea that if we use these electronics, it's going to make our kids smarter. But the data isn't there to really support that. And so, having said all that, though, when your child is supposed to go to the school and that's the option for you, what are you supposed to do? So I would talk to see if you can meet another family that goes to the school now and just ask the principal or whoever it is in the office, you know, is there a current family that I could ask questions of as we consider your school? And then ask them what kind of things are happening in the child's classroom, how much digital homework is being done, and then you're deciding as a family, you know, do we want to do that? Because if you decide that's too much, then it is a sacrifice, because then it means, okay, we've got to go out of district and go to a different school, or we've got to have a different thing, and or we've got to homeschool. We've, you know, all these different ideas now. So for our kindergarten where I'm at, they are on it a little bit, but they're not in the classroom yet. So I really like that. But they do send home homework, you know, maybe 20 minutes a day that would be on the computer. And that's another reason. If you know your child's already been on the computer an hour at school, and then they already have 20 minutes of homework after school, then you know, like, screen time's kind of done. We're not going to sit around watching screens because you've already done it so much in the day. So personally, I feel a little like, oh, I wish they didn't do that in schools. Right. We do not. So she's asking if we have anything in the book regarding brain tumors and different things because of is it EMS? Because of the waves transmitted and such. We do not address that in the book. Thank you, though. So that's funny, because there's all these first, you know, concerns, moral concerns, learning concerns, but then there are the physical concerns of the waves, and there's also physical concerns of eyesight. They're finding that kids need glasses a lot earlier and a lot more because they're not outside focusing far away. They're inside on screen, so the prescription for glasses has jumped dramatically as well. Right. Yeah. It's a great question. My six-year-old's asking, when can I have a phone? When's a good age? Every family is going to be different and have to ask for themselves, but really ask, what is this phone for? And, you know, obviously for a six-year-old or a grade school student, I think it's, you don't need one. You know, like they don't need one. You know, my fifth grade son's friends, they have phones, they don't need them. If my son's at school and he needs me, he can go to the office and he can call, he can ask a friend who has a phone and he can call. So your kid is going to be able to get to a phone these days pretty easily. And even if your child is having to be dropped off and picked up, they will have access to a phone. So really you want to hold that phone back as long as possible, because you think about it, many times we say, oh, I want my child to be safe, so I'll give them this phone. And yet if you give them a phone that can get internet access, you're also saying, okay, why don't I just give this minefield to you in your pocket so you can find porn when you're 10 and, you know, and have it in your pocket and have to battle that all your life. So sometimes we're protecting them from one danger and then we're handing them a different danger. So you really want to be careful. And honestly, when you look at that first phone, you know, a basic phone that just texts and that that you can call on, but something that they can't get on the internet, something where they can't do those things, and you test it. You see how responsible are they. And in the book, we go through different steps you can do and a screen pledge that you can have your families take, things like that. Because if you start small, like, okay, let's pick three numbers when you first give that phone of who you're going to need to contact, and those are the only three numbers you can have on your phone for the first month, and let's see how that goes. And then you talk to them about safety and privacy and all those kinds of things. Yeah, but I know a good friend who waited till their kids were 16, and that worked really well. And then I know others that have done 13, you know. So every family is going to be different. And you know your child. You know, like, this is a responsible child. They can do this. And then you know, like, man, if I gave this child a phone, like, this would just be a nightmare. So you kind of know that as well. There were more questions. Yes. Yes. How do you get your husband on board with this whole thing? You know what is really funny? I have totally heard, how do I get my husband to read this? And how do I get my mother-in-law to read this? Because she's watching my children and they watch TV all the time. So A, I would say you start to pray. And don't nag, because nagging gets you nowhere. You know, oh, you really shouldn't do that. You shouldn't watch this. I mean, that's not going to help you. But, you know, praying and asking, oh, God, open the door for my husband, for whoever it is in my life that needs this, and asking for that open door. Then you could say, you know what? I heard this presentation. I'm going to read this book. I'd like to highlight some parts that I want to share with you. Would that be okay? You could, like, say that as you're giving him a massage or something. So make it, like, make the medicine go down nicely. So let him know. This and really to say to a husband, you know, honey, there's something I'm really concerned about, and could we talk about it on Thursday night? And most men, they want to help you, they want to fix it, and they're going to be like, something you're concerned about on Thursday night? Is it me? What's wrong? You know, and it'll get their attention. And then on Thursday night, you say, honey, you know, I know you love your sports. I know you love your video games. I don't want to take that away from you. But let's think about what it's doing for our kids and how it's modeling, and maybe tell them some nightmare story of some 20-year-old who can't find a job because all he wants to do is play video games all day. You know, so try to think of, in your husband's language, what would really get his attention, and communicate it in that way. And then maybe, you don't want to meddle too much, because a man doesn't want to feel like my wife is, like, you know, in every corner of the house there's, like, some pamphlet about, like, video use. He's not going to respond well. But when he hears from you, this is on my heart, this is important to me, most men will want to listen to that, will want to know. Yeah. First grade. Yes. Yep. Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. And this is I know, that's so my beef. That would be my beef with the school. So first grader has an iPad, has to do homework. So now all of a sudden the iPad's in the house because he's doing homework. Now we've got the iPad. So it's like, oh, mom, can I play this? Can I watch this? Because it's already out. So that is really, you think about it, and it's like, this is not helping academic learning by putting this iPad so accessible to this first grader. So it is what it is in terms of if you have it. So let's say you have it. Then it's this talk with your first grader of like, okay, this is so great. This is going to be for your homework. And we have a timer cube. It's really nice. It's a cube and it has like 0, 15, 30, 45, 60 on it. You turn it on at the bottom and basically when it's homework time, we flip it to 15, turn it on and say when the timer goes off, when it beeps, you're done. And so if there could be either a time limit that you set and you make it this big deal, like this is so cool and we're going to do this. And when it beeps, if you can put it away, we're going to do this. And it's like something he really likes. We're going to do this and kind of get them conditioned to, I use this screen time for this amount of time and then I'm done. And then it could be if he was real successful and you say, wow, you've done so good for 2 weeks. You've done that. You haven't complained. Well, on the weekend, we're going to do watch this for a half hour, whatever the case may be. But you just have to be very diligent because it's so easy because now he's got it and he's already there and he wants it. And it's like, no, you can't have it. So really to show him that delineation of this is for schoolwork and that's it. And that's it. And it makes us the heavy and it makes us mean, but it's going to make your son play and do other creative things that are better for him. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it's a great idea. How can I not be on my phone every 10 minutes, et cetera? So when I first got the phone, every like 5 minutes, I was like, oh, it's like it didn't even make a noise. I was like, what does it do? Like, what's there? And you know what? It's that self-control and putting things in place because it's like checking the mail. Oh, what do we get? What I get? You know, it used to be that you'd walk out to the mailbox and you think you might get a personal letter and you get excited about it. And so the same thing with our phone. It's like we're checking it all the time because it's like, what's there? What's there? What's there? What's there? So sometimes I set a time because believe me, checking my email, going back and forth and toggling between like social media, email, shopping for stuff, that's a lot more fun than writing books. So I'll be on my computer and I'll have a Word document open and then I'll be like doing, I am there. And so I realized that, okay, if I can, I give myself little rewards, for instance, okay, I have to write 2 pages before I check that. Or I have to little goals. I need to do this before I check that. Another thing I'm trying, not as successfully, but what I'd like to do, because I check email too often. I don't need to check it all the time. So to check it in the morning, maybe check it at 11, check it at 2, check it at 5. Like, do I really need to be checking it several times an hour? Which I do, because it's like, oh, I don't want to miss anything. And to realize it's okay, you can miss something, be less distracted and get your stuff down. So a little things like that, and then really being very conscious of if there are people in the room, that people always take priority. So if I'm in a dining setting, phones away. If I'm talking to someone, we put our phones away, things like that. So common courtesy, and then your own time. And sometimes a timer, like, okay, we're gonna be on Facebook, but I don't wanna spend endless hours here, so I will sit, look at the time, and I'll say for 15 minutes, I'm going to go on Facebook and then I won't go on anymore in the day. And so setting time limits for yourself is really, really helpful because you don't realize how much time you're wasting until 2 hours later. Yes. Yeah. 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 Right. Yes. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's a great question. Is there research that shows, you know, how is this impacting my child if they're on a half an hour and they're doing this app and they're being creative, you know, what's going to happen? And so much of the research is not there because the iPad is so new. We don't know when this child is 20 years old, how is that going to impact? So I would definitely look at time limits of saying this is a part of our day, but the rest of our day we're going to be outside and then we're going to do this, we're going to interact with people. But they have shown, you know, like it'd be a similar question to someone reading on a tablet versus reading a print book. And there's not the research way down the line to tell us about that, but what researchers are beginning to say is that when kids interact with a print book, they're typically just interacting, you know, with the pictures, with the text, with their mom. It's a very streamlined experience. But when they're on a tablet, that many times it's, oh, turn that on, they're interacting a bit more with the device than they are the actual text of what they're doing. They're more enamored with being on the device than the actual book that's being read. So it's, oh, look, wow, oh, the page turns, and oh, look at this, and oh, wow, look at it, you know, it can read. So now mommy doesn't have to read to you because it can read to you. So there's those kinds of things. And then, of course, as things are more linked, so for instance, if they're on a print book, that's where they are. But if they're online reading, it's like, oh, look, I could, and things that look like features, oh, look, you can click on this and find out about the author. Oh, look, you can click on this and find out more about dogs. Oh, look, you can click on this and find out about the author's hometown. But it tends to be distracting because then instead of reading the text all the way through, a child is clicking from place to place and their comprehension actually goes down. So when you are reading online, think about making it as simple of an experience that it's just the book and disable those hyperlinks if you can and things like that. All right, one last question? Okay. So what we are going to do now, let me tell you one thing. At your table, I put a sheet that just says, if you want to sign up for my email list, and it's a once a month email with tips for you to have a happier home. So if you'd like to receive that once a month email, I would love, love, love to stay in touch with you that way and send you resources that way. So just leave your email there. And then if you want to purchase books, of course, afterwards, I'm happy to sign them for you. The book Growing Up Social is with Gary Chapman, and that's $13. And then I have my special MOPS pack. So like we said, you can do a lot in 31 days. 31 days to a younger you. I interviewed ladies 40 to 100 to find out how did you do that. So if she was really healthy or really close to her husband or great at work or whatever it was, how did you do that? So that's what this book is about. 31 Days to Becoming a Happy Wife has all the different tips about how can you be happy regardless of what's going on with your home, your children, your husband. How can you be a happy wife? And I interviewed a lot of ladies for this, including Liz Curtis Higgs and others. And then 31 Days to a Happy, I think Kathy Lipp's in that one too. 31 Days to a Happy Husband is, you know, during these MOPS years, our husbands can be like wallpaper and they're just kind of there. And then if we don't pay attention, the wallpaper gets all like shriveled and all like tattered. And so this is a book so that you can say, you are more than wallpaper to me, baby. And you just put it on your nightstand and he already feels instantly better about his life. But it's 31 Days to a Happy Husband. And this one has, I interviewed 31 husbands and ask them, how does your wife make you happy? So David Jeremiah is in here, actor Kevin Sorbo is in there, comedian Tim Hawkins is in there. So $10 each for the books, all three books for $25. So please, you'll find some discussion questions on your table and go get them. And the small group is a really great way for you to start talking about these things, concerns on your heart. Thank you so much.